The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I mean, if you can get your motives right, if you can get rid of all this, I want to impress you. I want to impress you. I care what you think about me. I'm doing for you. If you can get to the point where you're just like, God, I don't want anything to do with it if it's not you. If it's not you, if you're not in, I'm not in. I don't care to be involved in any lifeless, non-anointed, dead works anymore in my life. What I want to do with a flow and an ease and a power and God's smile of approval on my life. Now, interestingly enough, motives is one of the first things that I can remember God dealing with me really seriously about when I started studying the Word of God 35 years ago. And I think it's extremely important for everybody, but I think it's especially important for anybody that's going to be used by God in ministry, because you really literally cannot be very successful at anything you do if you're doing it with a bunch of hidden wrong motives. People like that always end up coming apart at some point in their life. We can hide things from people. We can even hide them from ourselves, but we cannot hide them from God. Did you hear me? I said we can hide things from people. We can hide them even from ourselves, but we cannot hide them from God. And thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth, into all truth. And it's not always this nebulous, just word truth. He guides us into the truth about us. And if we're willing to face that truth, man, then we can go to a new level. Every time that God has promoted me to a new level spiritually or even in the ministry, there's always been something that God has had to deal with me about. I always say, in order for you to come up higher, your flesh has to go a little bit lower. For whatever reason, maybe because I had a lot of really bad motives, I don't know, but God dealt with me early in this thing about motives. And I remember these scriptures, and I'm going to share with you, probably at least 34 years ago, God began to show me these scriptures. And so here we go. Verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in verse 10, he said, "According to the grace of God that was on me, I've been laying a foundation in your life, and it was the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ." We're saved by grace, total grace, nothing we can do to earn salvation. And that foundation of knowing who we are in Christ has to be first in our lives. And then he says, "But if anyone builds upon the foundation, whether it be with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw." So here's what I like to say. We have a foundation in our life now of Jesus Christ. How many of you are born again? Okay. Then you have a foundation in your life of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why you're here tonight is you're wanting to build a life. You're building. God is the master builder, and he's helping us through the Holy Spirit to build a life. But how we build that life, the kind of material, the motives that we build that life with, is extremely important. He says you can build with gold, with silver, with wood, with hay, with stubble, with straw. What kind of a life are you building? Are you building a real, genuine life? Are you building a phony life? Are you wearing masks and playing games with people? Or are you really sincerely trying to do the very thing that you believe that God is telling you to do, and you're doing it strictly for Him and not to impress anyone else? I don't know. It's between you and God, but I hope every person in here tonight goes home and does some serious thinking. Let me ask you a question. How many things are you doing in your life that you feel absolutely no anointing on at all, nor does it minister any kind of life to you? But you're doing it, you don't even know why you're doing it. You're doing it because everybody else you know does it, and you don't want to be the only one not doing it. How many things are you doing to please people, but way down deep inside you don't feel right about it? And I ask myself these questions too. This is not just for you. How many things are you doing that you resent? I actually believe that what I'm sharing with you tonight can be very life-changing if you will just really get a hold of this. I can't guarantee you it's going to make you feel all warm and fuzzy right away, but I do believe it can be very, very life-changing. See, we have to learn to live before God and God alone. Because when all this is said and done, and it will be sooner than we think, I don't care if you live to be 100 years, that's one grain of sand on the ocean of eternity. And God is the one that we need to live to please. If we want to impress anybody, it needs to be God. We have to learn to do everything that we do for God and not for anything else. Amen? How many things are you doing that you complain about? Well, how many things do you do that overload your schedule and create stress, and you do it just to make more money or just to climb the ladder of success or just because you want to be in the know? I can remember when I used to get involved in all kinds of stuff at church just because I was nosy and I wanted to know everything that was going on. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. And you know, God began to tell me, you don't need to know that stuff. You're wearing yourself out, running up there every night on this committee, that committee, involved in this, involved in that, listening to all the gossip. And you don't need to know none of that. You need to know me. Yeah, it's getting a little better, isn't it? You know, when Dave and I were still in the denominational church we were in, I wanted him to be an elder, and I don't remember if he wanted to or not, but, you know, I probably talked him into it, and I mean, because Dave was never, he was never trying to impress anybody, and I just finagled around and tried to get in with the right people and get in with the right groups, because, you know, the right people had to vote for you to be an elder in the church, and, you know, I just wanted to know everything that was going on. I just nosy, wanted to know everything that was going on. Well, however much time we spent serving God, come on. Serving God, however much time we spent serving God like that, it was wasted time. We lost all the reward for all that. Okay. How many things do you do for somebody else to put them in your debt? So then you can have the attitude, well, you owe me. Because I did thus and so, now you owe me. Or we could look at the brighter side for a minute, which I think we will. How many things do you do only for the love of God? How many things do you do strictly to serve God? You're not wanting anything. You're just doing it to serve God and just strictly in obedience to Him. How many things do you do to help somebody else and you can honestly say, I don't want anything back from them. I just have this deep desire to help. Now, these are the things we're after. This is the transition that we want. We want to have a shift in our motives. And I tell you what, I catch wrong motives in me all the time. And I change those motives. I change my heart before I go get involved in something, because I am not going to waste any more of my life doing things that are useless and wasted time and effort. I want to do what is going to produce good fruit in my life, nothing else. It's good to do things just because it's the right thing to do. You don't have to feel like it or want to. I believe that God loves it when we just do something just because it's right. It's the right thing to do. It's right to go and make peace with somebody when there's strife between you and them. It's right to be the first one to take the first step to bring peace in that situation. It's right to forgive. I don't need to feel like it. If I forgive you 20 times, you don't owe me anything. I'm doing it because God has asked me to do it, and because it's right, and because He's smarter than I am, and I just want to do things His way because I spent enough time messing my life up. Amen? And how many things do we do, and we should do these, just because it's our biblical duty. Like taking care of elderly parents and grandparents. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. I think I got 20 scriptures, and I can see about how many I'm going to get through. Verse 13, the work of each one will become plainly and openly known, shown for what it is, for the day of Christ will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test and critically appraise the character and the work of the work that each person has done. And if the work which any person has built on this foundation, any product of his effort, whatever, survives this test, he will get his reward. But if any person's work is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss of it all, losing his reward, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through the fire. This is good for you. You know, I was sitting over there tonight, and I was looking out at this crowd, and I thought, I wonder what they came here for. You're probably thinking, man, I got some really deep problems in my life. How is this going to help me? Oh, honey, sweetheart, baby, Christian, you have no idea how much this is going to help you. I mean, if you can get your motives right, if you can get rid of all this, I want to impress you. I want to impress you. I care what you think about me. I'm doing for you. If you can get to the point where you're just like, God, I don't want anything to do with it if it's not you. If it's not you, if you're not in, I'm not in. I don't care to be involved in any lifeless, non-anointed, dead works anymore in my life. What I want to do with a flow and an ease and a power and God's smile of approval on my life. And the earlier we can learn that, the quicker that you can work with the Holy Spirit to purify your heart, the more powerful, more successful person you are going to be. You have no idea, no idea. It is yet to be seen what God could do through one man or woman who will let their heart be purified and give God all the glory for everything that they do. And we're always looking for keys to success. I believe this is probably one of the most major ones. Because God sees what other people doesn't see. And he wants truth and purity and honesty. And that doesn't mean perfection. That doesn't mean we do everything perfect. But it means to the best of our ability, we are not being phony. We're straightforward. We're pure-hearted. And we're doing what we're doing to the best of our ability for the right reason. Now, God despises works of the flesh, but we are to work the works of God. And they are two totally different things. Works of the flesh is my bright idea, coming up with some plan on how I can change Dave, change my kids, get my ministry to grow, change my circumstances, get promoted, get to be the worship leader at church. Get to be the preacher's best friend. Or whatever it is that I think that I want. It's my idea and it's my energy trying to do what only God can do. How many of you are with me? And there's no anointing on that. And so here's what you end up with. Failure, disappointment, and frustration. That's all you get. And I know because I did it for years and years and years and years and years. Well, if I do this, my ministry will grow. Well, if I do that, my ministry will grow. Well, if I do this, maybe I'll get more speaking engagements. If I do that, maybe more doors will open. If I do this, I'll get in with the right crowd. Well, maybe if I'm nice to you, you'll invite me and then I can get around the right people and I'll have the right connections. Come on, I didn't learn all this overnight. I'm downloading on you about 35 years worth of wisdom. Please take it. This is the mother load tonight on motives. Come on. We have this life that we live out here that we show to everybody, but the life that God is really concerned about is the one in here. It's the inner life. I desire that men should have truth in their inner being, Psalm 51 says. That hidden man of the heart is what's beautiful to God. You got a private life that only you and God know about. And that's the one that is the most important of all. Amen? That's why you really don't have to worry about people judging you, because it's only what God thinks that really matters. Now, let me go back to this motive thing about how we lose our reward and give you an example for just a minute. Works of the flesh are things that we come up with, that we do, that we think is going to get us some attention or get us noticed. But the works of God are just doing the things that He asks us to do in the simple, pure way that He asks us to do it. And you're not really concerned if you get anything or not. You just know that God will take care of you. So, long, you know, God teaches me through practical stuff, so that's all I know how to give you. I'm not too fancy, but I think you'll get it. God's teaching me about these motive things years ago, and I was sitting in the nail shop getting my nails done. I get these acrylic nails, and it takes a little while to get them. I've had them for 25 years, like most of you. Oh, your nails are beautiful. Yes, they are. They're not mine, but they're beautiful. And this was back like in the 80s, and it was very popular to wear these big rhinestone Jesus pins. It was big block letters, and the thing was about like this. And, you know, they were very pretty and shiny, and so, you know, we wanted to advertise witness, really. You know, I wore it with a pure heart. I just wanted to witness for Jesus. And so I'm in the nail shop one day getting my nails done, and another lady was there, and she was waiting to get her nails done. It was a real small shop, and so she knew I was a Bible teacher, and we started talking, and she was a Christian, and she was a nurse in a cancer ward, and she said, you know, I just wish that I could pray with the people and share about Jesus with them, but we get fired if we do that. And so I just felt like the Holy Spirit just put this idea in my heart that I could give her that Jesus pin and tell her to, if she just wore it on her uniform, when she would just lean over the patients to take care of them, they would see that name, and just His name had enough power to minister to them. So, and I mean, I really felt like that was an anointed idea. And so I started to give it to her, and then I just got this little nudge from the Holy Spirit, do it in private. I thought, well, how am I going to do it in private? There's three of us in here. And so just immediately after that, the girl that was doing my nails said, you know, Joyce, I'm going to have to run next door for just a minute. There's a beauty supply house next door, and I need to get some product. I'm running out of product here to finish your nails. So she got up and went next door. Well, I knew in the depths of my heart that God was making a way for me to give that to her privately and not get any attention for myself, just do it for Him. Well, I hate to tell you, and I'm sad to say, that I thought about it and thought about it. And I look back now and I realize my flesh was just trying to figure out any little way that it could get a little bit of credit. And so finally I came up with, well, you know, I think it might be a good example to her if she sees me be generous. So sure enough, I waited till she came back, took my Jesus pin off. Oh, God spoke to my heart and told me to give this to you. And oh, you're so wonderful, and everybody thinks I'm wonderful. And oh, and I felt so wonderful. And I got my nails done, and I walked out of the nail shop, and the Holy Ghost said to me, I hope you enjoyed that, because that's all you're getting. I wonder how much we give up of what God would love to do for us that we miss because we're busy trying to get a little bit of credit, a little bit of attention for ourselves. I just wonder what God would love to do for us if we would just trust Him enough to just zip our lip and wait a little bit to see what God might like to do. Let's go to Matthew 6. I just love doing this stuff. Matthew 6, take care not to do your good deeds publicly or before men in order to be seen by them. Now, there's the motive, in order to be seen by them. It doesn't really mean that nobody can ever see you do good works. It's not possible to always hide everything you do from people. But the point here is motive. Don't do them in order to be seen by them. Do you ever notice how Jesus, many of the things that He did, He would quickly just slip away and nobody even knew where He went? And then many times He would even say, make sure you don't tell anybody about this. Well, what was that all about? He didn't want to get a bunch of attention. That wasn't why he was doing it. He wanted to keep it just a pure thing that was going to glorify God. Always keep in mind that when people don't make on over you, God is making on over you in heaven. He's excited about what you're doing, even if nobody else sees anything that you're doing. Otherwise, you'll have no reward reserved for and awaiting you from your Father who's in heaven. When you give to the poor, don't blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets like to do, that they might be recognized and honored and praised by men. Truly, I tell you, you have your reward in full already. When you give to charity, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You know what I have, how God explained that to me is like, you know, I'm involved in getting to do a lot of really great things for people. And I'm busy, like, we'll have a great conference here. We may have 1,700 people saved by the time we go home. A lot of awesome things are going to happen. You know, I get a lot of compliments. A lot of people tell me good things. But what I have to do then is I have to take every one of those and give it to God like a bouquet of flowers. And then when I lay down in my bed tonight, I cannot lay there and think about how good I am and the good things that I did. You just can't afford to do it. You got to say, God, I am nothing without you. At least probably 10 times every day, I say, God, I am nothing without you. If you move one little teensy tiny bit, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I cannot do anything without you. I am an everything, nothing, everything in you and nothing without you. And I don't say that to put myself down or to make myself feel bad about myself, but I cannot afford to get full of myself, because if I do, then it's over. You see, I am painfully aware that what I'm doing is God, because to tell you the honest truth, I am not really all that talented. I talk. And if I don't have an anointing on my life, that's it. People are not going to cram into these buildings for hours on end and travel from other places and buy hotel rooms and get babysitters to listen to a woman yell at them and talk if there's not something there besides her. I have to have God's presence on my life, or it's not going to do any good. And I cannot have that if I don't do everything I can do to keep my motives right. Now, believe me, my motives are far from 100% pure. So if you don't need this message, I'll just preach it to me, because I need it about once a day. But I want them to be right. And I don't want to do things for wrong reasons. And I want to obey God, and I'm growing every single day. And I'm just trying to open eyes tonight and wake some people up. If maybe this is something you've never paid that much attention to, or maybe you've never even had anybody teach you this kind of stuff, we need to hear this. God is not impressed with what we do. It's why we do it that matters. All you got to do is take the woman who gave the what we call the widow's mite. She gave two mites, which was like a half a cent each. I mean, I forget what all the numbers were, but it was a very teeny, tiny, tiny sum of money. And there were people throwing money into the treasury right and left. And the Bible says that Jesus stood by the treasury and he watched how people put their money in. Yeah, wow, that's right. And he wasn't watching how much they were throwing in. He was watching their heart attitude. He was watching their attitude. And she gave less than probably everybody else there. But he said she gave more than all the rest of them. You know why? Because he saw her heart. She was willing to sacrifice everything that she had. And she did it strictly out of her love for God. And he said she gave more than anybody. God counts differently than the way we count. Amen. Well, I pray that today's teaching will encourage you to begin to pray for God to reveal your true motives in everything that you do. Remember that God is not nearly as concerned with what we do as why we're doing it. Today, we're offering you something that's going to help you understand the kind of heart that God wants us to have and the kind of life He wants us to live. It's the Everyday Life Study Bible. This is a Bible, it's the Amplified Bible, and it's full of my teaching notes and different teachings that I've done over the years and different life points that we want you to get. You know, it's always good to have somebody help you understand the Word of God, especially when you haven't come to a point yet where you can really dig those things out for yourself. Also, a DVD called How to Study the Bible. You know, I'm sure that many of you want to study, but you just don't know how to. And maybe you try to read a little bit of the Bible and you feel like you're not really getting it. Well, these are tools that are going to help you. So I want to help you, but you have to be willing to help yourself by taking action and getting the materials that are going to help you do that. We love you so much, and we really want you to have the best life that God wants you to have. And studying His Word is the pathway to having it.
Reading the Word of God can change your life, but for many, finding a starting point is often discouraging. And that's where today's resources can help. The Everyday Life Bible, which includes notes from Joyce's personal journey, and the DVD, How to Study the Bible, will provide direction and stability in your time with God. Both are available for a donation of $35 or more. All you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
Get your free subscription to Enjoying Everyday Life magazine today at joycemeyer.org.
We visit on average 150,000 to 200,000 incarcerated each year. And of course, we're over 2.7 million inmates that we've visited and given the care packages to at this point.
Not too many other organizations comes in, you know. And most of the time when people come in, most of the time they are Christians. You know?
Here, in ways afflicted.
They give me the book. I can't remember the name of it. It was Why God, Why? I haven't read it yet, but I mean, I've read some of her stuff before, and she's a good lady, and I like it.
I can't tell you what it means to these guys, man. I mean, to see their smiles, to see the shock on their faces, you know, where you're walking in a lockup area where they don't have visits, you know, and they can't get out for maybe an hour a day from their cell, and to have somebody new like us walk in and give them a book. It's like here a while back, a question was asked, why would you do that for me? Because this is what Jesus would do.